Thank you for coming out here with me. For some reason, some people get a little suspicious when I ask them to come out in the middle of nowhere with me in the dead of night. Who would have thought, right? Stargazing is this strange overlap in the Venn diagram between nerdy and romantic. And that's me to a T. So here, budge over. I'm gonna put a blanket down for us. Make yourself cozy, and as cozy as you can be on the ground anyway. We're looking for a constellation that looks kind of like a wiggly capital A. It's just down from Cassiopeia, which is really easy to spot. It's the W. Got it? Okay. Yeah, now the top of the A is kind of bending towards Cassiopeia. It's supposed to look like a little guy in a pointy hat. That's Perseus. And all the meteors are going to appear to be radiating out from there. Ah, Perseus, this is Greek mythology, of course, but just bear with me, okay? Now, a lot of the northern hemisphere constellations are based on Greek mythology. Killed the Gorgon, Medusa. Pegasus sprung up from her blood and the foam of the nearby waves. And that constellation, it's right over there. It's right there, yeah. A wonky horse with a big square wing. And Perseus rode Pegasus to the kingdom of King Cephus, who is, just on the other side of his queen, Cassiopeia there. It's like a guy's head in a pointy hat with a little pigtail. Anyway, Cephus's daughter Andromeda, who is just next to Pegasus, like she's laying on her back, chained to a rock, was due to be sacrificed to a sea monster, Cetus. Now, Cetus is, let's see. Okay, take those two stars diagonally in the square of Pegasus' wings and draw a line to the east through Pisces. And you'll eventually get to this big whale shape. Anyway, Perseus, he rides up on his big white winged horse, kills the whale, and then frees Andromeda. And they get married and they have six kids. And he uses Medusa's head to kill a king that's sexually harassing his mom. The end. I mean, yeah, this is what you get when you're a rural kid with shitty internet. You get some books on Greek myths and a star chart, and you just go to town, Oh, talk nerdy to you? Well, buckle up and gird your loins. The shooting stars tonight are space dust and debris that fell off the comet Swift-Tuttle, probably thousands of years ago. It has an orbit around the sun that lasts about 133 years, give or take a few years. And it last came by Earth in 1992. And that means that we're going to see it again in around 21, 25, no, 26, 21, 26. And not to be a buzzkill, but, it may smash into the Earth someday as it comes pretty close to us. But that won't be until, the 31st or 45th centuries or whatever, so not much for us to worry about. But, people have recorded watching the shooting stars just like us since the first century. They seem to come from Perseus because that's the direction the Earth is heading. The Earth is hurtling through space and goes splashing through this path of debris every year at the same time. And every bit of dust and space rock that interacts with our atmosphere as the Earth goes plowing past just lights up due to the friction causing it to ignite. I mean, that's the weird thing, right? Like, oh, hold on. Did you see that one? It was a little one, like right over there. Yeah. Oh, I guess they're starting. This is so cool. Oh my goodness, I'm getting really excited. And it's okay if you missed it. That's perfectly fine. Like it was just a little one, and you know, if we're lucky, the peak could be, you know, 60 asteroids a minute later on. So you will be bored of them by the end, I promise. Anyway, what I was saying was, you know, the real mind bender is that the stars, they aren't really shooting by us. We are shooting by them. So when you see, you know, one race across the sky, realize that it's standing still, and you're seeing how fast the Earth moves instead. We're flying around this little star every year. And I think that that's, you know, the magic of space, right? The intersection of hard science and romance and poetry. You can look up and see it all and feel so small and insignificant, but also feel so empowered. We're on this little rock, whirling around an insignificant star in the void of space. And maybe the 6 billion of us and all the plants and animals and bacteria are really the only life that exists in a massive galaxy, in an even more massive and vast universe. And, you know, that hopefully inspires us to feel like we're all unique and important, and so is our little planet. But in Perseus alone, in that one little section of sky, there are 7 stars we've detected planets around. And there are at least 4 galaxies full of thousands more stars and more planets and more chances that somewhere out there is someone looking up at a little smudge in the sky of our unremarkable star or our spiral galaxy and looking right back at us. We'll never know them, of course. You know, if they fired a powerful laser directly at us, it would take hundreds or thousands or millions of years for that light to arrive. And we're time traveling when we look up. We don't see things as they exist now, but as they existed when photons flew out of their star centuries and millennia ago. I think sometimes it helps to look up and think that there's someone looking back. Gives you know, perspective or something. And I don't think it makes life any less precious. Even if there are 1 billion other planets and 1 million with life, there is still so much void in between. But I know if I could, I would want to send a message in a bottle to them, you know, like the Voyager messages, and tell them, you know, just hello. But you ever get that feeling looking around at people here on Earth too? Like you'll pass someone in the street or see someone going about their day through their apartment window and suddenly realize that they have a whole life you'll never know that's just as weird and sad and joyful as yours. And I think the word for that is sonder. We're our own little insignificant planets. But every once in a while, here on Earth, we can bump into each other and say hello and intertwine our lives and learn parts of each other's stories. And I am so glad that I bumped my planet into yours. No, don't make it dirty, okay? Like I'm trying to be poetic. It's just so weird to think about us being strangers, you know, like about me not knowing about you and your life and your fears and dreams and values. But it would have been so easy to just let a moment pass and not connect. You know, we have to reach out through the void. We have to look up and say, I see you, and I want to know more. I can't imagine my life without you in it. I'm so glad that you're here. Oh, look. Oh, my goodness. That was a good one, wasn't it? And you saw it? Yeah. Oh, my God. It went like halfway across the sky. Oh, look. Look. Oh, my God. That's such a good one. You saw it, too? Oh, my word. That's so cool. Did you see how it went like halfway across the sky? Oh, my goodness. That's so cool. And did you make a wish? Hey, I may be a science nerd, okay, but like I said, I am a romantic too, and you know, wishes are important, and you're supposed to wish on shooting stars, and this is going to be like a total wish bonanza. We're going to get like 100 tonight, so make a wish stockpile, okay, because you're going to, oh my word, look at that. Oh my goodness, I think that one broke up into two on the way down. You got your wish in? Yeah, okay, good, good. I think we're getting into the thick of it now. Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, I saw. Oh, wow, that's so cool. I mean, it's just a cloud of dust and a handful of space pebbles. You know, it's amazing that something so mundane can make something so beautiful, right? Like, oh my word, look at that one. Look at that one. Oh, that's so cool. And over there. Oh my word. There's so many tonight, and it's so beautiful. Oh my goodness. And that one there, up there at the same time. Oh my goodness, we're getting two for one. And over there, oh my, that's crazy. That is unbelievable. That looks so cool. Ooh, that's amazing. Ah, wow.